and he went on chattering and smirking, but I never heeded him. My head was in a spin. Lola Montez, my Rosanna, a countess, a monarch in all but name, a royal mistress by the sound of it. And she was writing to me, offering me hard cash. Plainly I needed more information. "Forgive me, sir," says I, breaking in on his raptures. "The title misled me, for I'd never heard it before. When I knew Lola Montez, she was playing Mrs. James." "Oh, dear me, my dear sir," says he, very whimsical. "Those days are far behind us now. Our firm, in fact, represented a Mrs. James some years ago, but we never talk of her. Oh, no, I dare say not. But the Countess of Lansfield is another matter, a lady of quite a different colour."
"When did she come by the title?"
"Why, some months ago. How you should not...
I've been abroad," says I. "Till this week I hadn't seen an English newspaper in almost a year. I've heard of Lola Montez's doings, of course, any time over the past 3 years, but nothing of this."
"Oh, and such doings, eh?" says he, beaming lewdly. "Well, my dear sir, your friend at court is a very great lady indeed. She has the kingdom under her thumb, makes and breaks ministers, dictates policies, and sets all Europe by the ears. Upon my word, some of the stories... Why, there was an article in one of the sheets calling her the modern Messalina." He dropped his voice and pushed his greasy face towards me, "and describing her picked bodyguard of splendid young men. What, sir? Hey? She goes abroad with a guard of cuirassiers riding behind her coach, sets her dogs on whoever dares to cross her path. Why, there was some unfortunate who didn't doff his cap, sir. Flogged almost to death. True, sir. And none dare say her nay. The king dotes on her. His courtiers and ministers hate her, but go in fear and trembling. The students worship her. For luxury and extravagance, there's been nothing like her since La Pompadour, they say. Why, sir, she is the 9-day wonder."
"Well, well," says I. "Little Mrs. James,
praise her." He pretended distress. "Not that name, I beg you. It is the Countess of Lansfeld who is your friend, if I may be so bold as to remind you."
"Aye, so it is," says I. "Will you tell me what she wants of me, then?"
"My dear sir," says he, smirking, "a matter of the most delicate, is it not? What that may be, surely you are in a better position than I to say. Eh?" "But you will be going to Bavaria, I take it, to hear the particulars from her own lips."
That was what I was asking myself. It was unbelievable, of course.
Lola, queen, to all intents. That was wild enough, but Lola seeking my help,
when our last encounter had been distinguished by the screaming of abuse and the crashing of chamber pots, to say nothing of the furore at the theatre, when she'd seen me among her betrayers. Well, I know women are fickle, but I doubted if she remembered me with any affection. And yet the letter was practically fawning, and she must have dictated the sense of it, if not the words. It might be she decided to let bygones be bygones. She was a generous creature in her way, as so many whores are. But why? What could she want me for? All she knew of me was my prowess in bed. Did the maîtresse en titre want to install me as her lover? My mind, which is at its liveliest in amorous imagination, opened on a riotous vision of flashy pride of the harem. But no, I have my share of conceit, but I could not believe that with the pick of all the young stallions of a palace guard, she was yearning for my bonny black whiskers. And yet, here was a lawyer, authorized on her behalf, ready to advance me £500 to go to Munich, 10 times more than was necessary for the journey. It made no sort of sense, unless she was in love with me. But that was out of court. I'd been a good enough mount for a week or so, no doubt, but there'd been nothing deeper than that, I was certain. What service, then, could I perform that was so obviously of importance? I have a nose for risk. The uneasy feeling that had come over me on first reading her letter was returning. If I had any sense, I knew I'd bid the greasy Mr. Gregg good day and tell him to tear his draft up. But even the biggest coward doesn't run until some hint of danger appears, and there was none here at all, just my uneasy instinct. Against which there was the prospect of getting away from my damned relations. Oh, God, and the horrors of accompanying the Morrisons into society. And the certainty of an immediate tidy sum with more to follow. And sheer curiosity, too. If I did go to Bavaria and the signs were less pleasant than appeared at present, well, I could cut stick if I wanted.